Okay. We're beginning the siman of siman kuf, which is the halachos of beria. Last time we spoke about whether the din of beria is a din d'oraisa or it's a din d'rabbanon. That was the basic conversation. Last time, I'd like to focus on today is just the halacha that beria is not batal and what defines a beria. And as we'll see, there are going to be a number of practical applications of this question. Shulchan Aruch paskins that a beria is not batal. Beria the hainu kigon namala or of tame etc. So I feel the lashon of Shulchan Aruch is I feel the elef lo betame. It's not even batal with 1,000. The Gaon comments what we are saying over here that's not batal even 1,000 is coming la afuke the opinion of the Rash Hazakin in Maseches Trumas and the Rash Ban Yadal Amid Beis in the Torah Habayis. Where, and Rashi also has that line in one place in Yudat Amal Aleph, where they both assume that a beria is going to be batal with 960. They're assuming that beria is not batal even with 1,000. However, there are Rishonim, there are major Rishonim out there who assume that beria is going to be batal with 960. Zak the Gain and Oshei, that we don't pass on like this Rash and the Rashba, because the Gemara Daf Kuf compares the halacha of beria not being batal to the halacha of chaticha ru'ila hiskaved, which is not batal. And just like a chaticha ru'ila hiskaved is not batal at all, even if you have thousands, many thousands, whatever it is, it's not going to be batal. So also a beria is not going to be batal at all. In fact, the Gemara makes it tzricha so. The Gemara says, how come you need both the halacha of beria not being batal and the halacha of chaticha ru'ila hiskaved not being batal, right? What's the need for both dinim? And ultimately what the Gemara says is that there's some sort of tzrichasa, but the fact that we have a tzrichasa indicates that it's the same type of halacha and they're both not batal at all. Ad kan divrei ha gra bebeir divrei ha mechaber. Okay, so far so good. Now this shita out there that it is batal with 960, where on earth do you get the number 960 from? It's kind of an obscure and weird sort of number. So the Bach has a comment that he thinks 960 comes from 16 times 60. Right, those of you who are not math majors have to take my word for this, that 16 times 60 is going to be equal to 960. Now how do you get why 16 times 60? So effectively what the Bach is saying is that the halacha, the Mishnayos and Trumas say that Tzir Tameh is batal until 16, and most Yisurim are batal b'shishim. So you multiply 16 times 60, which are two known shiurim of bittul, and that's how you get 960. It's a little bit strange why you do it that way. I mean, we have other stuff that is going to be batal b'meyar b'masayim that could really increase this proportionally. But lemay, so we know that there is a shiur of 960 that's out there. There is a Yerushalmi in Trumas that speaks about how an achbar is going to be batal in 1,000. No? Now, I should point out that it's not abundantly clear that the Yerushalmi really means that an achbar is going to be batal in 1,000. And even if the Yerushalmi assumes this way, Mehechatesi the Bavli agrees, but in terms of primary sources, that's probably the Marim Makom for how there is bittul with 960, because we say there is bittul with 1,000, but mistama 1,000 is like a rule of thumb, so 960 is like the real din of bittul according to this day of the Rash and the Rashba, etc., based on Yerushalmi. Tosfos understands that according to the Yerushalmi, beria is going to be bittul be'alaf. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah has that, etc., but the pash would be that the Bavli disagrees, and that's why la halacha we follow the Bavli, and the beria is not going to be batal at all. But once I have a shita, and it's not like some minor league rishonim, it's not like we're digging up, you know, Reb Pinchas, the son of the Rash Meyuhupitz, or somebody like that. These are like major rishonim, the Rash and the Rashba, etc., and the Arz HaRuah holds that way. So this daya can perhaps be used for big-time kulas in Judaism, no? Va'afaresh et sichati. Before we get there, though, there are dayas that are even more makol. The din that beria is not batal, the source in Shas, is chul and daf kuf, where we speak about how giv hanosha is not going to be batal. Frankly, Gemara v'li batal beruba, and frankly, Gemara, no, it's not going to be batal because it's a beria, and beria is not patela. That's the Gemara in daf kuf in That's the Gemara in Daf Kuf and Chulin. Now, it happens, we mentioned earlier, that the Gemara compares Beria not being bottled to the din of Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe, which is not being bottled, right? That's the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara has another Kasha Chaticha Lehiskabe, it's like the Gemara, it's also not bottled. But once I have this comparison between Beria and Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe, so then I can open up the riff. And I can open up the riff, and I see in the riff that the riff never holds the din that Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe is not bottled. The Rif understands, like the Pashtus in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Dalet, that the rule of Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe not being bottled is true only if it's a double whammy. Only if it's a Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe and it's an Isra Hanoah. But if I have a Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe, Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe means like a chosh of a piece of meat that you give to a guest. If it's Isra Hanoah, the Rif says, in that situation it's not going to be bottled. But if it's only an Isra Achila and it's a Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe, so in that situation it will be bottled. Right? In other words, the Rif Shita is that Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe is going to be bottled, just only when it's a Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe and Isser Hanoah, only then is it not bottled. Zok the Mishkan is Yankev in the Tshuva, and I think the Pischei Tshuva actually gives you the wrong Marimakom here, no? The Pischei Tshuva says, look in Simon Lamed, is that the way you have it? What? Lamed Aleph. Ooh, Lamed Aleph. Also, not the way I have in my Mishkan is Yankev, I have it as Lamed Vav. So, there is a Pisni Chuva in Lamed and Lamed Aleph about Tola'im and stuff. That's not really the relevant simonim in the Mishkanes Yankiv. The real relevant simon is simon Lamed Vav. The Mishkanes Yankiv, by the way, was the main Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, no? Reb Shechter was just telling me a story the other day that apparently Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to quote the Mishkanes Yankiv in to him once a year, and you know, it's his main Talmud, and he's a Rav in Karlin. It's probably the worst job in the world, no? He was the Litvisher Rav of the town of Karlin. It's probably like an awful job. But the Mishnas Yankov was called into his Rebbe to Reb Chaim Volozhiner once a year, and he would always leave crying. He'd always leave Mamish bawling in tears. And finally someone asked him, like, what's going on? So he says that my Rebbe says that I'm doing very good, I'm writing good tshuvas, I'm learning well, but gaiva shouldn't go to my head. I shouldn't become a Baal Gaiva. And the Rebbe kept on giving him Musar year after year, don't become a Baal Gaiva, don't become a Baal Gaiva. That was the Musar that Reb Chaim Volozhiner had to the Mishnas Yankiv. If you want to know the real derech of Litvisher learning, it's the tshuvas Mishnas Yankiv. It's like the classic Litvaks. I think the Chazon Ish writes. Now the classic Litvish Sfarim are the Mishkanes Yankov and the Tshuvas of Rav Kook. Rav Kook was like a classical Litvak also. By the way, classical Litvak means that you go through the Sugyas and the Shitas of Rishonim and you learn it really well, and you also have an affinity towards the Zohar HaKadosh. In Litta, right, in Volozhin, they at one point had to pass a rule in the yeshiva that you couldn't come to Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Zohar Shir unless you also went to the Gemara Shir, because the guys in Volozhin were more interested in learning Zohar than they were interested in learning Gemara, Rashi, and Taisus. Who would have guessed, no? Right, but that's Litta. That's like the classic Derech HaLimud, and the Mishkas Yankov is into Zohar Sakeshi. He has a famous tshuva about Green Esregim and stuff like that. Chaim Volozhiner has the same tshuva. It's not clear exactly who had the tshuva, but it's exactly like word for word the same. But it's a classical Litvisha Mahalach in Psak. So Mishkanes Yankov, in his way of doing classical Litvisha learning, he says, first of all, we have a riff. And the riff tells me that Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe is bato kishala atmai. It's only nachim bato if it's aser b'hanoa. And the Gemara compares Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe to the din of Beria. Meaning to say that aliba da harif, we don't really hold like the Gemara that Beria is not bato, because Beria is the same as Chaticha Ruya Lehiskabe. Meaning only if it's an iser hanoa is it not going to be bato. But if it's an iser achila, it will be bato. So in Erechtens you have the sheet of the riff that Beria is going to be bato, like regular Isurim. In Sveitens, we have the Shita of Gimel Rishonim Chashuvim, Rash, the Rash ben the Teres Habayis, and the Orizarua, who assume that it's bottle in 960. In Jritens, thirdly, you have a Shita of the Ravid. The Ravid assumes that when we say Beri is not bottle, it means that Beri is not bottle in Shishem, but it is going to be bottle b'meya. Now, you understand what we're getting at. Zok the Mishkan is Yankiv. Right, the first part of his tshuva, and the Pischa tshuva references this in Sifkatan Aleph, is Memela. We have a Snifla Hakel on the flower. You see, in Europe, there's a very big problem that whenever you'd have flour, and the flour would be teeming with bugs. They have these little milbins. What do they call them? Milbins, milchins, or something. There's these tiny little bugs that are like floating around in the flour. What are you going to do? Is the flour mamish treif? What are you going to do? Lechem yichya ha'adam. No, you have to have bread. Well, you're not going to have bread? So apparently there were some Yirei Shamayim who Taka didn't eat bread certain times of the year because they were worried that there are bugs. But right, we can put together a svek, whatever, based on Rishonim. No? The Rashba Urzarua, together with the Rif, together with the Ravid, that maybe it's going to be bottled. Because, come on, the bugs are going to be bottled. It's mamish like Elef against it, no? So maybe it's going to be bottled in that situation. Ooh. And it's Mimbisha Eino Mino. Right, the Mishnas Yankiv and that Tshuva also has a discussion that maybe one could argue that Beri is not bottle only min b'mino, but min b'she'eno min is going to be bottle. Achrei kechleis hakol, this is the snifla hakel that the Mishnas Yankiv has for the shayla of these bugs. Not bad, no? The Arch HaShulchan, if you read the Arch HaShulchan in Se'ifim, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tasvav, Tazayin, Yud Zayin, the whole Arach HaShulchan, the end of the Simen. The Arach HaShulchan brings up each svara that the Poskim have lahakel on the bugs in the flour, and ultimately the Arach HaShulchan is not inclined to any of those snifim lahakel, like we'll explain as we move on, and he comes up with his own snif lahakel, which is also difficult. So let's try to explain what's going on here. So one snifla hakel is all of these shitas harishonim. Next snifla hakel. The placey, the Rebbe Reb Yonson Eibshitz, is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva. The Rebbe Reb Yonson Eibshitz was mako on the bugs in the flour, right? How does it say? Ayin sefer kresu placey shalomat heter. Now I should point out that lomat heter doesn't mean that you're really being makel, no? It's a limud zechus. He's saying that Klal Yisrael is not being machmir on this issue, and the question is, why not? So it's lomat heter. It doesn't sound like the Plesi and the Mishkanes Yankiv, for that matter, really are into this kula, but what can we do? Klal Yisrael are eating this food. Yeah? So again, whoa. So that's a point actually I should have mentioned a minute ago. Do I have a right to make a tziruf shitos against Shulchan Aruch? Lamaisa, the Mechaber is telling me that Beri is not batal filo be'elef. Comes on the Mishkanes Yankiv, he says, oh, but he got a rif, a rash, chalant. Yeah, but the whole chalant is against Shulchan Aruch. Right? So that's my understanding as to why it's a limud zechus. A limud zechus means that maybe the minig of Klal Yisrael is supposed to accept as binding the psakim of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Right? When all is normal, right, we should follow Shulchan Aruch. Narvas, sometimes you see that people aren't doing it. So we need to come with the limud zechus and saying, oh, maybe they have some tradition to rely on X, Y, and Z. That's not mainstream halacha. Right, that's sort of my understanding of this Mishkanes Yankiv. Placey has a different mahalach, no? The Placey's mahalach is based on the discussion in the Rishonim as to how we're magdir beria. Gemara Kuf Beis in Chulin tells me that if I have an oaf tamei, and I eat the oaf tamei, even if it's a kosho, if it's a tiny amount, so I'm going to get malchus on the achila, no? But if I have an oaf tahar, a kosher bird, and now there was a kosher species of bird, I should say, and the bird is dead, and now I eat it, it's not going to be malchus b'kosho. Effectively, what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why you get malchus on the oaf tameh is an oaf tameh is going to be a beria. An oaf tahar apparently, even though it's now a nevela, is not going to be a berga. Now, nishalat hasha'ila farvos. Why would it be that an oaf tahar is not a berga? So what does Rashi say? Not asur mitzchias b'riyaso. Rashi develops this theory that berya, and it sounds like this in English, no? The translation of berya is probably a creature, and creature comes from a lashon of creation. It sounds like mitzchias b'riyaso, from the time that this thing was created, it was mitzchias b'riyaso, it was usher. Nevela was not usher mitzchias b'riyaso. It was a regular animal. It became a nevela in the time when it died. It became a nevela. Since it's not usher mitzchias b'riyaso, Zuktrashi, that is not called a berya. That's the shita of Rashi. Now, the Tosfos on Sadi Vav and the Russian Siman Lamed Gimel, they both do not really use this mahalach, that the definition of berya has to be its usur mitzchilas b'riyasei. The Rush and Tosfos have one yesod of berya that they say solves all definitional issues of berya. And that is, to be a berya, it has to be a davar she'im yichateich ein shmo alav. Right? A berya means something that right now it is what it is. And if I cut it up, so it's no longer the same thing. That is what a berya is. Mimela, nevela, is not a berya, according to the Rush, no? Because a nevela is something that what? Oh, I forgot to give you your tests. I left them on my desk. I'll bring them to share. No, I didn't do it. So I have them. I'll have to give them to you tomorrow. Okay. I tend to be a little bit spaced out. So if guys can keep me focused, I apologize. These things happen. Now, the Rush holds that a nevela, by definition, is not a berya. Because nevela, let's say I have a piece of nevela. I go to the A&P and I buy a big piece of steak. And I cut the nevela up into small pieces. It's still a steak, no? Or, no, I should say it differently. It's still a nevela, no? It was a big piece of nevela. Now it's a small piece of nevela. But it's part of nevela. So the Rush holds that by definition, the nivlas oif tahar is not a berya because it's something that when you cut it up, it is going to be shmo alav. It remains a nevela. That's what the Rush and Tosfos say. Memela, nevela, memela, a oaf tahar, shenisnabla, is not a berya, both according to the Rashi and according to the Rush, but they're coming at it from two separate reasons. So far, so good? Now, just litosefes biur a tiny bit. The Chavistas in Os Dalet explains. We'll get back to the place in 1 second. But the Chavistas in Os Dalet explains that the Machlokas, Rush and Rashi, everyone is masking himself, the Chavistas, to the idea that to be a berya, it has to be something that if you cut it up, it is not Shmoy Alav. But if it's Shmoy Alav after you cut it, it's not a berya. Everyone is masking to that. But the question is, shame shel ma. In other words, look at the Chavistas in Os Dalet. The Chavistas says that according to the Rush, ilu yecholek ein shmo alav means shame ha'iser. And the mela, if I'm dealing with shame ha'iser, so the nevela that I cut up into small pieces, it blinds a nevela. It's still a nevela. No, it was a big piece of nevela. Now it's cut up to a small piece of nevela. But it's still a nevela. Oh, once it's Shmo Alav, Zuck the Rush. So therefore, it can't be a berya. Because the Rush is understanding that the shame that we're discussing is shame ha'iser. However, the other Rishonim assume that ilu yechalek shmo alav might not mean the shame ha'iser. It might mean the shame hanotzar, in the words of the Chavistas, meaning the substance that it was. The Rishonim discuss is a chita. Is that called a beria? So everyone says, no, a chita is not a beria. Why not? Again, two different reasons. Some assume that in order to be a beria, it has to be brias neshama, something that's alive. Is a chita alive? No, it's just a kernel of wheat. It's not alive. So therefore, a chita is not a beria because it's not alive. Others assume that a chita is not a beria because a chita is something that ilu yechateh or bishmo alav. Because what's the iser on the chita? The iser is going to be, let's say, an iser of tevel. When I cut it into a tiny piece, it still is an iser tevel. Right? That would be like the Rosh's mahalach, that shame alav means shame ha-iser. But other Rishonim say that shame alav doesn't mean shame ha-iser, it means shame ha-notzar. Shame ha-notzar would be that when I cut the chita up into tiny pieces, it's not called chita anymore, now it's called kemach. Now it's called flour. It has a different name. It's a different name of the substance. We're not dealing with the name of the iser, dealing with the name of the substance. Im kenem hadavarim, that the issue at play is the name of the substance, so then I cannot say that chita is not a beria because then I could say that chita is not a beria because it's not shmo olav when you cut it up. Effectively, what we're trying to say is like this. The Rosh has only one rule for beria. When I cut it up, if it loses its name, then it's not called a beria anymore. Memela, according to the Rosh, the reason why chita is not a beria is because I cut it up, it's not shmai olav. Nevela is not a beria because when I cut it up, it's not shmo olav. Meaning to say, it was called a piece of meat beforehand, it's still called a piece of meat. Right? The issue is, according to the Rosh, right, the shame ha'iser. So far, so good? Yeah.
What about Eiver
Min HaChai? So, Eiver Min HaChai, if I cut it up, it's still the shame ha'iser. And it's also the shame ha'chaticha, no? Gid HaNosha also, I cut it up, right? It's the same name of the iser.
Right, so that wouldn't be a problem with the Rosh? If it's the same name?
If it's the same name, so how come it is, how come Gid HaNosh is a beria? So apparently, according to the Rosh, again, if the definition of beria is ilo yechateich in shmo olav, so Gid HaNosh, that's the case in the Gemara, that's a beria. When I cut up a Gid HaNosh, so it's still called a Gid HaNosh l'chayra, right? So that's your question. If you cut up a Gid HaNosh, I think the Pri Megadim in Os Gimel deals with this question. I'm not sure I fully understood what he said, but I think the Pri Megadim in Os Gimel raises that issue.
I think the Beis Yosef sort of said it's like a Hatichas Gid or Hatichas Gid.
So it's not. So it's still. It's not Shmo Olav.
But why is that not called Shmo Olav?
The thing Gid. The chen gid nikra chatichas gid. The chen aver menacha nikra chatichas aver.
What?
If I eat a chatichas gid, I mean, again, a piece of gid hanosha. Let's go like this. The only thing that's really called the gid is that area of like two etzba'is by a small animal and four etzba'is by a large animal. If I cut that, so it's no longer a gid. It's a piece of a gid, but it's not the real iser of gid hanasha.
Are you?
It's probably chatzi shir of some sort. Okay. I don't try it.
I'm saying so, but it's chatzi shir
of what? It's not really a gid hanasha. It's a piece of gid hanasha, so it's usher based on chatzi shir, usher min
ha-Torah. It's chatzi shir, usher min ha-Torah with a separate iser of itself?
Maybe. I mean, that would take us very far afield. We don't want to go there. Yeah, Mr. Dansker.
I thought it was just, it's still a Gid HaNosha, it's just not beri yet. Meaning,
once I cut it up, it's still gid, it's not beri yet. So then, but one second, but if it's still gid, so then isn't it shmo olav? And if it's shmo olav, so then it can't be a beri yet. Right, that's the question. If the if according to the Rosh, the Hagdara of Beria is Ilu Yechatech Ein Shmo Olav, right? So what Mr. Bressler is asking is that Lamais over here, I cut it up, and it's still Shmo Olav. So why? So that's a very hard question to answer within the Rosh. Right, according to the Rosh, it seems like what the Rosh is saying is that he has one Yesod, the Yesod of Ein Shmo Olav, and that's going to answer Chita, right? Because it becomes Kemach, according to him. Tysus is going to say, yeah.
I think the Bustanar state that if the reason why I tell it is because the Pusik's not going to be being Tevel.
So speak louder?
I think the Rush says that the reason why you tell Chita is not to vary is because the Torah is not going to be Tevel, not Chita. Torah doesn't say that it's that chita of tevel.
Right.
Therefore,
but
that I already cut it off. If
it's
a Torah, it's been
makkan
on chita, so therefore, then it
would have
been a beria. Because
in other words, the Hagdara of beria, according to the Rosh, the din of beria is not a din of chashivos per se. It's a din that the Torah asers this thing, ben katan ben gadol, and the Torah asers so far so good, and therefore.
Right. So therefore, it's not because if you cut it up, it would be kam.
Because it remains Tevel.
Right.
No, so according to the Rush, it's a din in the Shem HaIsra. That's what we said. The only Hagdara. What? And therefore, I need to come up with a second reason of. One second. The Rush is. I thought the Rush is assuming that there's like one. Does the Rush hold a Brias Neshama?
No,
the Rush rejects Brias Neshama, right? So how come Chita is not a beria?
Because the Torah is mafkid on the Torah doesn't say a Chita.
Because the Iser Tevel remains.
The Torah is mafkid on Tevel, so whatever. It is, so therefore, the Torah is not flood on the beria, according to.
So according to the Rush, since the Iser Tevel.
It's about the object. If, let's say, for example, the Torah is mafkid on a behemoth tzmeya. So therefore, if you eat a behemoth tzmeya, no matter what the size is, so therefore, since the Torah is mafkid on beria, you're kind of no matter the size or not. And therefore, if you cut it up, right, so therefore it's no longer considered a beria because it's not.
I agree with all of that. And chita, the reason why it's not a beria is because when I cut it up, still is called tevel.
Right, and it's not about.
The hagdara of beria is ilo yecholik ein shmo olav, and this is not a beria. That much I got. Right? And what about Git Hanosha, according to the Rosh?
So it's no longer considered a Git Hanosha.
Torah says Git.
The Torah says Gid, and once I cut it, it's not a Gid anymore.
It's usher because of Gid and Nashik, so it's still going to be usher.
This is not a Gid. That's what we were trying to say. It's like a Chatzi Shir of Gid.
No, because if you have his eyes of Chatzi Shir,
the Torah is mounted on the object Gid Hanasha. So therefore, that specifically.
Let's say I have a big animal, and I only have two etzbais, I don't have all four etzbais of it. So it's not a beria. To be a beria, you need the full thing. It has to be shalem, right? Ilu yechatech, if it's cut up, it's not called a gid anymore. So therefore, it is a... And there's the hagdara of... It's not called beria once you... It's not called gid anashim once you cut it up into little pieces. So therefore, the cut gid is not a gid.
But it's still
usher for me to eat it. Why?
Gid Anasha, you showed the Isra
Gid Anasha, so it's similar to saying like Chatzi Shir as an Isra Klali.
No, because if you have a Kazayis of Chatzi Gidim, you're going to get Malchus because of Gid Anasha. That's not Chatzi Shir. That's a full Shir.
Oh, yes, this is Gid Hanasha, but it's not a beria.
It's not a beria because it's not the status Gid.
Okay.
The first Malchus is the item.
Okay. I think we're all. I think we're all saying like the same type of thing.
No, it does.
To be beria, everyone wants to be a beria has to be shalim.
It's not beria. Even if it's whole.
Even if what's whole. Correct. That's correct. Now, so why is this relevant? So this is relevant because the placey tainas, that the reason why the bugs that are found in the flower is mutter, is because it wasn't usher mitchilas briyasai. You see, the Torah tells me that sheretz hashoretz al ha'aretz is usher, when the bugs begin to swarm on the ground. But when the bugs are inside the peiris, it's mutter. When the bugs are inside the flower, it's mutter. It only becomes usher when they leave. But the moment that it leaves, it was not, at the moment that it leaves, so memela, it wasn't usher mitchila, mitchilas briyasa, so therefore it's not going to be called a beria. Right? Let's chazer. According to the placey, the bugs are going to be bottle. Beria is not bottle. The answer is that this is not a beria, because this is not usher mitchilas briyasa. Now that din, though, what the placey is saying is true only according to Rashi, not according to the Rush. According to Rashi, there's a requirement. The reason why Nevela is not a beria, the Oaf Tahar, Nevelas Oif Tahar, is because it wasn't Asher Mitzchilas Briyasa. So Nevela, the bugs, also, one could argue, it's not Asher Mitzchilas Briyasa. But according to the Rush, that the Yesod of beria has nothing to do with whether it's Asher Mitzchilas Briyasa or not, so according to the Rush, I don't have a Kula because the bugs were mutter when they were inside. That is the Yisrael. Mr. Dansgar. Can you just speak?
Where is the place coming from in terms that it's not a beria? It's not us or until it leaves the fruit?
That's a Gemara in Chulin, like on Samach Hei. That Sheretz HaShoretz Al HaOretz tells me that Kozman is inside its mutter. It's a good kula. Now, this was Rabbi Belsky's kula about the copepods in the New York City water. That's considered loy pirish. No? Part of his cheshvin, even though that's not about Sheretz HaMayim, but his cheshvin was that, like, copepods start off in the reservoir and they just go through all of these. It's considered loy pirish, basically, because it's always connected to the water somehow.
It's like considered flowing water?
I think he views every, again, you have to read the Shuvah, and that's in his Sefer. I think anything that's connected to that original source is always the same. That's one of his coolest. Now, the Kitzer. The Placey has a Kula based on the fact that it is not also mitchilas briyaso. However, this kula A does not work according to the Rush. B, the Chavestas and Oshei assumes that this kula will not work at all. Remember, the makar of the din of beria we mentioned last week from the Taz is that beria comes from the fact that you get malchus if you eat it. That's why it's not bottle, because since you'd get malchus, memela, it shows that there's chashivos, and therefore it's not bottle. The Gemara tells me that ochal putisa like a dalid, nemala like a hay. If you eat a nemala, you get five sets of malchus. That's what the Gemara Makkah says. Now, the reason why you get malchus, even though I'm not eating a kezias, is because it's a beria. But these are things which are not yet pirshu. Right? Or the nemala, right, are only going to be usher la'achash or pirshu. They're only going to be usher once they leave the peiris. When they're inside the peiris, it's going to be mutter. And according to Rashi, if it wasn't usher mitzchilas briyah, so it's not a beria. And if it's not a beria, you shouldn't be able to get malchus on it, because the dinim are the same. Right, look over the type of bugs that the Gemara Makkos is speaking about is the type of bug that was born inside the animal, inside the fruit. And the bug is born inside the fruit. It's not usher mitzchilas briyasai, according to the placey. If it's not usher mitzchilas briyasai, therefore, it's not a beria. If it's not a beria, how does the Gemara say, get malchus? Zok the chavistas, this is a raya she'ein olav tshuva. It's a raya she'ein olav tshuva, that what? That the placey is wrong. In other words, what the Chavestas is basically getting at is like, okay, so Zolzayim, for a temporary amount of time when it's inside the fruit, it's not usher. But the second it leaves the fruit, it becomes usher because it becomes a shar shoritz al-aretz, and that's considered tchilas briyoso for the isser. It's like a different item. The fact that when it's inside, it's mutter. Then it comes out, it's usr. That doesn't mean that it was notzar, right? That wasn't usr mitzchilas b'riyaso. The pshat is that a new isr is created now. And the tchilas b'riyaso of this sheretz is b'isr. Effectively. But the question of the chavas das and oshei is twofold. First of all, the chavas das is asking, or the questions we could ask on this place here are twofold. First of all, who says you should follow Rashi? Maybe you follow the Rush, and there's no din in mitzchilas priyasai. Second of all, the Gemara in Makis seems to be a raya against this pure hagdara of tchilas priyasai the way the place he says it. Mimela, we've got ourselves a problem. Is there any limud zechus on the people who eat this flour that contains bugs? So we first have the one limud zechus of the tzirif hashitos. We have another limud zechus of the placey, which is questionable based on what the Chavas Das asks and other things. There's another possible limud zechus, however. In that same Mishkanis Yankiv, he says the following idea. Zok the Mishkanis Yaakov, that maybe to be a sheretz, it has to be something that's choshuv kishal atzmo. These tiny little bugs that are found in the flower, you have millions of those bugs. Each bug on its own has no chashivas. The only chashivas of the bugs is that there's an aggregate. There are millions of these bugs floating around. Zok the Mishkanis Yankiv, one could argue, based on the same dimyon between Berya and Chatich Re'ula Hiskabe, that each one on its own has to be Choshev. If each one on its own is not Choshev, it's not a Berya. That's a little wild, no? And Five O'Connor, page Kuf Zayin, says he doesn't think that this Mishkanis Yankiv is very reasonable. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel basically says like this. If you have a kedera of soup and a berya falls into it and gets lost, it's usr. Everything is usr. The berya that falls in is probably a bug. No? Siv Dalma, we're talking about bugs. According to the Mishkanis Yankiv, bugs are not berias. To be a berya, it has to be something that is maybe like a juk is a berya because it's chashav on its own. But any tiny little bug that just like swarms in big groups, that's not a berya, according to the Mishkanis Yankiv. And Reb Feivakon points out the Pashtas in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel Sif Daled is against that shita. Because Sif Gimel Sif Daled talks about like an individual bug that's stuck in the soup, and that is going to be a berya. Aruch HaShulchan in Os Yud Zayin has another mahalach to be makel on these bugs that are found in the flower. And it goes like this. The Aruch HaShulchan wants the taina. It's not clear exactly what he means. But effectively, just like there's a din, that bugs, that the tam of bugs is going to be mutter. That the halacha says that a bug kishala atzma is aser. If the bug is nosin tam to something else, it's mutter, because it's nosin tam of gam and it's not choshev. So memela, maybe the din to Rabbanon, even though Tom Kikers are Dindra Raisa, we say the noise and Tom of bugs is mutter. So the Din Beria, which is the Din Rabbanon Zakhdar HaShulchan, certainly it can't be a Beria if it's a Dover that's Mos. Bugs are disgusting, so how could they be a Beria? Now this Aruch HaShulchan is like really hard to understand. Like, why can't it be a Beria? Just because it's Mos, it can't be. But that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Again, read it for yourselves. In Os Yud Zayin, he says it. That Din of the Aruch HaShulchan is also against Sif Gimel and Sif Dalet in Shulchan Aruch. Where it assumes that bugs are a berya. Yeah.
Is that not
the Rama quoted in the Pesach Teshuvah in Simen Kuf Gimel?
The Rama in, no, Pesach Teshuvah by us and then Kuf Gimel, I think, quoted the Rama in Simen Kuf Gimel, that it's a mos in and of itself, it's not a it would be bothered.
Right. In other words, that Ramon Simon Kuf Gimel is the basis of. No, Saint Tan Mufgam is going to be mutter. But if it's a beria, if it's not pogum, so it won't be bottle. You get an impression that if it's a beria and it is pogum, so what's going to be bottle? The tam is going to be bottle. Is the etzem hadavar going to be bottle according to that Rama?
Yeah.
Right, but I think what the Ramo really mean, again, that's exactly what the Pesach Shuv is dining on, agreed, right? But the case in the Ramo is more about the tam rather than the, right, is it the tam of a barrier, is it not the tam of a barrier? We're not talking about the barrier itself.
Is the Shulchan Aruch saying by us that
the tam is batal? The tam is batal. The Ramo over there wants to say that if it's something that is pogum on its own, so its tam is not going to be bottle, no? If it's a beria and it's not pogum, again?
Ramona said the horse. In Amen to Boomin the Atma.
Afa Pisha Pogman Hatavshil Aina Bateon. If it's not Pogum itself, but it's Pogum the Tavshil, it's not bottle. But if it is Pogum itself.
Even the berry itself will be bottle.
Even the berry itself will be bottle. So you're saying that all the Aruch HaShulchan means is this Ramah? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, the Pesachei Teshuva himself doesn't think that that's what he thinks that Rambam is very shver, right? So, no matter how we get to that point, I don't recall that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes at the Rambam on Kuf Gimel. That's actually interesting. Why he wouldn't? It seems to be like the same idea, but Achrei Kichlos Hakol LaMaisa. To assume that because something is pogum, it doesn't have a din beria is a very difficult assumption, right? And it's against Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel Sif Dalet here, and that's the pashtus. Okay, Nachzar. In Sif Aleph, we give you the examples of beria. Gid Hanasha is found in the Gemara. All the other cases are not found in the Gemara as not being batal. But because we assume that the din is based on Malkus, so Memela, these things will not be batal also. That's Eivar Min Achai, etc. Beit HaSheish Bo Efroach, etc. Now, the din of Beria, we mentioned, is the din of Rabbanon. Mid Rabbanon, a Beria is not batal. On the level of Da'i Raisa, a Beria is batal. So in the Shalat HaSha'ilah, how could we have just the tzir of these cases? The Cha'ora, any time I have a beria, it's going to be not but on the level of Da'iraisa, because it's Nikar Ha'isar. Every beria on the planet, right? The Cha'ora, right? You have a namala, right? A namala, isn't it recognizable? It's mixed into the soup. An oif tame for sure. A beitza. Beitza sheish ba froach. It's nikar ha'isar. If it's nikar ha'isar, midai reis, it's not batal. So why do they need this nugin to rabbanon that it's a beria and it's not batal? It should not be batal, even min ha'torah. So the Badei HaShulchan in Osios Beis and Os Zayin quotes all the achrayim who work very hard on these questions. The Badei HaShulchan suggests that maybe we're talking about a namala that falls into a very thick soup. And it can't be strained. What he's getting at is as follows. In Simen Kuf Dalet, you get the impression that it's called Nikar HaIsser if you could strain the thing. If I could, if I have an iser, and I could get it out, ayidei masnenes, so that's called nikar ha'iser. Then it's not a tarufis. It's going to be not but on the level of dairaisa. What type of bug can you not get out through a strainer? Elamai, it's got to be that the bug is mixed into a substance that won't go through the strainer. It's like a very thick substance that won't go through the strainer, and that's the tzir when it's not going to be bottle. The case by the beitza, that Rainim work very hard on coming up with tzir. Also, how's the beitza not bottle? Right, l'chor, beitza sefroach is nicker. You pick it up to the light, you see, is there a bird inside? If it's nicker ha'iser, it's not bottle min hatayra. So why do I need the dinz rabbonon of beria? Look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Os Zayin. The Aruch HaShulchan comes up with probably the biggest kula in Judaism. No? The kula goes like this. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan. Anything that is nikkur al yedei iyun dak is not called nikkur ha'iser. The dinda iraisa, that by nikkur ha'iser something is not bottle, that's when it's very recognizable. I require only iyun kal, like bekiyas learning or something, right, to get it, to notice it. Something that requires significant iyun, right, really the fine-tuned details, something like that is not called nikar ha'isra on the level of Doraisa. And Memelo, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, our simon is very pashat. Because the case of the bugs that are not going to be batal, midrabanan, outsberia, it's not nikar ha'isra. Why is it not nikar ha'isra? Because in order to be nikar ha'isra, you gotta see it, right, glaringly. If you don't see it glaringly, so you don't have the kula. That's the basic yesod of the Aruch HaShulchan. In Sifzai. This is the biggest kula in bug checking that we'll have to speak about. Because what the Aruch HaShulchan basically means is azoi. Min ha'toira, something is going to be bottle. Right? If it requires iyun dak. Even though it's nicker. Right? You could tell. It still is called the taruvus. In the Badei HaShulchan, he talks about this issue on page Reish Lamed Dalet.
Is this all for Beria or just for Nikar HaEser?
Well, we'll talk about Nikar HaEser, but Memela, once I talk about Nikar HaEser, and I assume it's not going to be a din of Nikar HaEser, so consequently, then I can be Mefalpa within the din of Beria. Let me explain what I mean. Why do we not hold like this Mishkanus Yankiv? In other words, we have a kasha, right? People eat flour, and there are bugs in the flour. What's the heter? So we came up with a few heterim, right? The Plessy's heter, that it's not Asher Mitzchilas B'Yosei, the Chashochan's heter, that it's a Davar Ma'os. Those heterim are very difficult. The Mishnah's Yankiv's heter, that maybe it's not called the Beria because there are many of them. But the best heter, L'cha'ora, is that you have a Svek, 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 Sveka. No? Maybe the Rash is right. Maybe the Ravid is right. Maybe the Rif is right. Okay? All those Svekos. And that's why Svarin Osenes, that it should be Mutter. But L'maisa, we check our flour, no? In America, the flour doesn't really have bugs. But in Eretz Yisrael, right, they check flour, correct? Why do they check flour? Ravai has that book, Bedikas HaMazon Kilchasa. He's very into checking flour. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is that we're not really dealing with the din of Beria, but we're dealing with the din called Nikar HaEser. If I would look closely at the flour, I'd be able to recognize that there are bugs. Memela, it's not going to be bought on the level of Da'iraisa. It's not midin beria at all. It's midin nikar ha'iser. That's not going to be bottle. This is what Reb Feivel Cohen says on page Kuf Zayin. That if you are machmir like the poskim, that when the Isser is nicker la'ayin, even though it's very hard to get it out, it's still not called the Taruvah, so it's not bottom min ha'Torah. Oh gosh, I'm going again, that clock keeps on getting me. Okay, so memela is not going to be bottom. And that would be a din d'oraisa. If that's a din d'oraisa, that's not going to be batal. So we don't have the kula of the svek sveka. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, right? So l'maisa, that kula would still apply, and we'll have to talk about this next time. Okay, Chevra, I apologize for going over time. Someone has.